Attending and sponsoring conferences can be a hefty financial investment, often reaching up to $100,000. But Camille Rexen and the 42 agency team chose a more creative and cost-effective approach through guerrilla marketing tactics. Rather than spending on traditional conference booths at Saster and HubSpot's inbound conference, they opted for a more unconventional and engaging method to capture attention and acquire new customers. One of the things they did is they rented limousine buses to shuttle attendees from their hotels to the conference and drove trucks with billboards, turning those vehicles into mobile advertisement. Today, Camille shares a few guerrilla marketing tactics for conferences. In episode 59 of the Marketing Pop Show, you learn first of all why in-person events shouldn't just be an opportunity to sell and pitch. Second, the results of 42 agencies' limo shuttles at Saster 2023. Third, Camille's take on the future of performance marketing. And number four, a power-up that has accelerated Camille's career. Before we get started, I've created a free power-up cheat sheet that you can download and apply Camille's guerrilla marketing tactics at conferences. You can get it now at marketingpowerups.com or find that link in the show notes and description. You ready? Let's go.
Marketing power-ups. Ready? Go! Here's your host, Ramley John.
Camille, I'm so excited. It's been like a long time coming. I invited you very when this podcast started, and then I'm not sure what happened, but I'm glad for you to come here. We're going to be talking about your team strategy around Saster event, which is a very expensive, very fun event.
And inbound.
Yeah, you did a bunch of stuff there. Your team wrote a whole piece about this. But I'd just love to hear, you know, why Saster inbound? Like, was it like your customers was there or like you saw it as an opportunity to just put the word out with about 42 agency and anything else?
So I went to Saster last year by myself. It's all the companies and all the people who want to sell to VP marketing, CMO, CRO, and B2B SaaS companies. So last year we did this thing that got some attention. Was we hired somebody off Craigslist and we said we're going to give you $42 bills. And as people come in for registrations each morning of the event, just hand them out as many as you can. And we got some, like Emily Kramer got one and she texted me. She's like, she sent me a picture and she's like, hey, I just got handled this brilliant idea. It got some attention.
Is a $42 bill? Like, is that?
Yes, I can send you a picture of that. Yeah.
Okay.
With my face on it and like designed as a dollar bill, but it's like $42.
Oh, my goodness.
So that was pretty fun. So this year we were brainstorming. And this year, I was like, okay, I'm not going to go solo. I'm going to go take some people from my team. So I went with Alejandra and Becky. And then we were brainstorming ideas on like, we can't get a booth for 100,000, 50,000, whatever.
Crazy.
Whatever the booth amount is.
Yeah.
So like, what's a more cost-efficient way to just get attention, right? Like, marketing is all about getting attention. So Alejandra came up with the idea of a limo. She's like, why don't we hire a limo? And then we can run a 42 shuttle. So we printed out some magnets. We put it on top of the limo. So it was like 42 branded. And we would literally just go to every hotel and say, hey, are you guys going to Saster? We're running a shuttle. Would you like a ride? And like, we managed to fill up. We did like 4 or 5 trips back and forth with the limo filled. A couple of times it was so full that we couldn't fit in ourselves. So we had to like wait for the limo to come back. And while people were in the limo, it was a good opportunity to like just talk to them about stuff, right? Like, hey, what you do, is a $42 bill. If you ever need, you know, demand and DevOps marketing help, go give us a call. And somebody actually called it a moving booth. This is kind of what it is. So that was pretty fun.
Yeah.
Initially, I wanted to like, we were thinking when we were brainstorming ideas, like I was like, maybe we can like fly a plane overhead and just drop the flyers on the plane all over the event.
This is so
and
good.
That's when I was like, maybe we can get a billboard, and, you know, by SFO airport around the event venue when people are driving in. But that was like 20K or something like
20K.
That.
20K? Crazy.
Yeah. 7K for the billboard and like, you know, and the billboard at the event. So like in the parking lot. And like, okay, you know, I don't want to drop 7K on 2 days. So we did that. We got the same girl from Craigslist to give out flyers, but she actually got chased by security. So we couldn't give out all the flyers.
Oh, no.
But the limo worked really well. And then we had some custom designed t-shirts that got some attention. People like, hey, these are really cool t-shirts. And the amazing thing is, like, a few people are like, oh yeah, 42, I've heard of you guys before. Mm. So I just looked at, and then at Inbound, because Saster and Inbound were just the same time.
Yeah.
So I found a company in Boston that does these mobile billboards, and it was like, Alejandro did the design, and we got these mobile billboards at Inbound, whatever. Like, none of us from the team was at Inbound, but I wanted to have a presence because we're pretty big, in, like, we work with a lot of Inbound, HubSpot customers. So we just parked the billboard in front of the event venue, so when people are coming in, they can see the billboard, and then he drove around the event venue at the lunch spots when people were leaving for lunch and, like,
smart,
all that stuff.
Yeah.
So, like, to me, the main, a lot of people treat events like sales activity, which I think is part of it. Like, you go to the booth, you stand the badge and stuff. But I also think it's an experiential marketing activity. Mm. And you just want to maximize brand impressions and you want people to remember you.
Yeah.
And that was, like, the whole driving idea behind it, is like, how do we become memorable and get attention for that? And we don't spend a lot of money because we can't afford to spend 50K on a, you know, our event. So we just, like, did some scrappy stuff. I think including travel, tickets, everything, and the Inbound billboard, our total cost was around like $10,000.
What?
For everything. Including the limo, including tickets, including flights, including hotels.
Interesting.
Including tickets to the event.
Yeah.
Including the billboard printing, the flyer printing, like, all in, I think our cost was like 10K, which is like pretty reasonable given our size.
I mean, compared to 100, 150 grand.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah. So we were trying to be scrappy. We tried to be creative, and we're like, what's the low budget way? And then we had some pens we gave out to people, and we had a lot of conversations with people, but, like, we were just like trying to stand out.
It's interesting that you, something you mentioned earlier, like, people come to events thinking it's just a sales event. Sure, like, you know, people are looking to measure ROI with, like, number of demos done during that time. But it's interesting how you've kind of, it's not just a sales event you mentioned. It's also, like, about staying top of mind, and people are going to talk about the limo. You know, it's like, I got a free ride. It's an experience. Compared to, like, walking up to a booth where they've gone to, like, maybe 50 booths. They've only gone. Was there anybody else doing the limo? I can't imagine there. A lot of, if you're like, there's only one limo, and it was 42 agency. You stood out compared to the booths out there.
Exactly. Yes. What you did. And then also, it's like, how many people hear about 42? How many people see 42? How many people talk about? Like, that was our main KPI. Mm. Like, yes, we had some good conversations and hopefully we closed some deals out of it, but, like, I wasn't strictly worried about how many sales leads we get. It was just like, can we stay top of mind for these people, and can we just leave a positive impression?
I love how you're thinking about this the long way, the long, you know, the long game versus the short game. Or, like, I'm curious, like, the last time you went, you gave away those 42 bucks. You should call it something, 42 Camille bucks or something like that. You know, did you end up you know, a customer? Or, you know, you talked about Emily Kramer, who's like this amazing marketer, owns, like, Market One, but, like, she got one of those. Was there anybody else who, like, looked further down, like, oh, I remember getting one of you 42 bucks from that event?
No, but I got some good introductions from the event. So from people I met at the event, I got some introductions. So I'm not looking at it like we added out these many dollar bills, how many people. Like, some people came to the side, we got a spike in traffic. I'm okay with not having the direct line to revenue. It was something creative that I can now sit about on the and talk to about a podcast, and then these 42 guys are very creative, you know. So it's also good. So the third level effects, the fourth level effects, so, like, doing that exercise and then using that as a story to tell our story.
That's so good. And then the plane, like, you were going to hire a plane to drop flyers. Like, wow. Yeah, you're really thinking out there and really, like, thinking about this, about grabbing attention, you know, because, like, nobody else is necessarily doing that. People are going to come. People typically, a company comes, they have their booth, they have their their stands and their design, their flyers. And then you're like, I'm going to go bring a plane or a limo to this event. And people are like, yeah, it's going to really stand out here, which is super interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Basically. Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit more about that, like the importance of attention, especially nowadays with the economy? I think there's increased competition. There's like things like that. How important is it for companies to think about like not just direct, like, okay, I did X, now I got Y in terms of like sales calls, but you're thinking about, I love how you put it, the second, third, fourth, even the fifth effect of doing an activity. And really thinking about it long term, like how important is it now for companies to be thinking about that, or is it even important?
I think it's always about balancing both. I think agency sales is very different than software sales. So I'm going to put a caveat there, because in agency sales, you're working with people, and the relationship matters 100% time more than like buying a piece of software. So I think there's that difference. I think agency sales are more about building trust and showcasing expertise, while a product, you know, just wonder how the product actually works and how good, like, you know, is, yeah, does this thing actually work? So we're, as an agency, I think our strategies and stuff is very different. But like, I think if you're a B2B SaaS brand, you have to always balance the short term and the long term. Mm. Like if you are selling, I don't know, performance management software and it's a 30-day sales cycle, you have to invest in the immediate direct response stuff to pay the bills. Mm. And then you invest in the longer term brand building, because brand over time makes performance marketing easier, because more people are familiar with your brand. So you get higher click-through rates, lower CPC, higher conversion rate, because you have already built that trust in the market. But it's also a fool's errand to be like, I'm an early stage startup, I'm sub $1 million in revenue, I'm going to invest everything in my brand marketing. But like, you can't do that. You're going to be run out of money before that brand marketing starts to pay off.
Yeah.
So I think you have to like take it with a grain of salt to say that we typically with our customers, we do like a 60-30 model, 70-30, 60-30, like, we over-index on performance, direct response, because that is what's going to drive the short-term results, because that is ultimately important. But that shouldn't come at the expense of the longer-term brand building, because you also want to be doing longer-term brand building. And performance ads and performance marketing can also build longer-term brand.
Yeah.
Like, it's not that, you know, Monday.com spends, I don't know, how many, 90% of their revenue on YouTube ads and stuff. And they're all direct response.
Right.
They're all like, sign up for a trial, go try Monday.
Yeah,
but you see them so often, so much everywhere, that you start to just like, it becomes top of mind for you.
Right.
But those are not brand campaigns, right? Those are essentially performance campaigns. But just by virtue of frequency and virtue of like, you've seen them on YouTube, on search, on this, that, you just think about Monday.com when you think of product marketing software or ClickUp or whatever, any of these.
Yeah.
So I think like, it's like to say that a performance campaign can only drive performance and a brand campaign can only drive brand is a false argument. I think performance can drive brand and brand can drive performance. It just how you approach it and the time frames you're looking at.
How do you see that apply to like events, where like most people see events as like, okay, this is like direct performance, bring salespeople in, do as many demos as possible. Versus like, you can also see it as like a split between like, you know, brand experience, like the limo, man, that's such a great like experience on its own. But it's also a little bit of like a, like you call it a moving booth, where there's like,
yeah,
there's a balance.
Yeah,
there,
it's both. Like, it's both. Yeah, absolutely. But like with the limo, our main goal wasn't to like
direct sales,
drive leads.
Mm.
Our main goal was to drive brand impression.
Yeah.
And more people to know about the limo and talk about 42 agency as an agency that wrote the limo. Like that was our main goal. The secondary effect was like, we had some good conversations with people writing the limo, and that was like, oh yeah, okay, this is what you got. Oh yeah, let's talk after the event and stuff. Yeah, right. For sure. I think events are expensive, so it's normal to be like, I'm putting $50,000 on a booth. What am I going to get out of it? For us, it was different because we didn't buy a booth for $50,000. We put like $10,000. And for us, it was like, if we close one customer out of it, it'll be like, we'll
break even.
We'll get the return. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. That makes sense. Do you have any advice for, I mean, this might be different for agencies versus companies, but I just love the scrappiness of this. And I feel like more companies can approach the same, whether they're a software business or agency business in terms of events, rather than like the traditional, let's just get a booth. Like, well, do you have any advice or tips for companies
who I just think you should look at it as, here's a bunch of people who are from our ICP. They're going to be all at the same place at the same time. How do we make ourselves memorable? It could be a limo, or it could be a dinner you host, it could be anything. But I think face-to-face time matters a lot. It builds more trust and more familiarity. So like, you have to maximize that, and you can think about it as, how do I make sure when they leave this event, they still remember who we are and what we do? Because there's like so many booths. Everybody has a booth. And like, booths are crazy. People spend an insane amount of money on booths. So some people were making like ice cream and coffee and blah, blah, blah. But like, that's just the event itself. But what can you do outside of the event that can drive more conversation?
Right. And there's this, I'm trying to recall this, but there's theory around how to remember things. There's this guy I was watching on YouTube, like he is like a memory expert. And the way that he remembers things is by thinking of something weird. If like some guy has a purple hair, he's more likely to remember that over somebody. I mean, Seth Godin also said this with purple cow, where like people are more likely to remember a purple cow over a brown cow, so to speak.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing that I love about this. And I keep saying I love it because it is so good, but like they're going to get hundreds of pens and swag, right?
Yes.
But like what they're going to remember is not that, because like, oh, let's give this swag because it's going to keep us top of mind. But what's going to get them to remember is something that is unexpected. And a limo, limo ride.
Yeah.
It was like super, super more memorable. Is that, was that something that you were thinking?
Yeah, like a blue ocean, right? Like everybody's going to get a booth. Everybody's going to be doing sales pitches. Everybody's going to try. We're not going to do a sales pitch. We're just going to try to be generally helpful. People struggle. People have to pay for Uber every morning from to and from the event. If you can save them that money and headache and give them a free ride and create that memorable experience, hopefully they remember us as a positive.
Yeah. I love that. Was there anything, any other ideas that like didn't?
Oh, so many ideas.
Yeah. Well, any other ones that you'd want to share? The airplane idea was crazy. Because like, I just love to hear how you guys were thinking about this.
I wanted to buy billboards at SFO airport. I wanted to run a shuttle from the airport to the hotels and like go there myself. Say, hey, are you here for Saturday? Let me give you a ride to the airport. You're going to like rent a car and drive people. I do carpool karaoke type stuff. So like while karaoke. They're in the car. So like while I'm driving them from the airport to the hotel,
right?
We record some videos in the car talking about like something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Quick marketing questions or something. I don't know. Like, you know, whatever have you. The other thing that we talked about was, the billboard at the in the parking lot. We talked about, oh my goodness, there's a whole list of things I don't remember now. Airplane. I can't remember. Sorry, but there's a whole bunch of like crazy ideas that was like, you know, let's just throw stuff out there. It doesn't matter how feasible it is. We'll figure out the feasibility later.
Right.
If it's in budget, without outside of our budget, is it really realistic? But like, let's just try and get the momentum going. And the inbound thing, because Alejandro designed a brilliant creative, we found a reasonable vendor that could like print and do the billboard for like $2,000 for 2 days. I'm like, fantastic, right? If we can have, if even 10% of people who go to inbound see our billboard and remember that we're a HubSpot agency, like that's all I want.
Yeah. I love that. That's so cool to hear this. What was the next step? You had this list of ideas. Did somebody from your team like kind of costed it out and like, okay, the limo from hotels to thing is like feasible?
Yeah, we kind of worried on the ideas. We're like, okay, what's like real estate? What is like, you know, throwing out flyers on a plane is not the best. Like,
somebody's gonna get angry. The city's
somebody's gonna get angry. It's gonna create lots of garbage. It's not great environmentally. So, like, let's scratch that idea off the table. Right. Billboards at in San Francisco airport are super expensive. You have to buy a minimum of like 4 or 5 weeks.
Yeah, true.
Oh, okay, four, let's cross that idea.
Crazy. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm just brainstorming. I mean, if you had a plane and you can like do like the cloud trail and write 42 on the sky.
Oh, somebody did that. Somebody did that?
So really?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
What did they write?
There's a company called Command Bar.
That's a long
name.
I think
they do some.
I hope they didn't write
so they were flying a plane with a banner.
Oh, no. Okay, cool.
They had a booth. They had a booth at the event, and they were flying an airplane with a big banner behind it saying commandbar.io. I don't know, something. But I remember their name because I saw them, the plane, and I saw the booth. So I'm like, oh, okay.
Oh, that's cool. I was thinking cloud trail, you know, with like the smoke trail of the
plane. Yeah.
And
yeah,
you write 42 on the sky because it's permanent there for like hours.
We also thought about like not permanent graffiti on the entrance. Walk. So like going the night before, hiring somebody to do graffiti on the floor. As people walk in, they see graffiti of 42 on the floor.
Or toilets, you know, people need to go to the toilet.
Toilets, yeah. So, yeah.
Interesting.
So last year when I went by myself, I left like
I saw that
$2 bills at the toilet and like at the at the water table, and I just kind of left them everywhere. Hockey stack Amir, who did up they did some cookie boxes around like random places and stuff. So like there was a lot of interest.
Cookie, I would not pick up that cookie box if it was randomly dropped on the street.
Yeah, it was on the table. Like there was lunch.
It's not like you take this box home. Like, oh my goodness.
No, it was there. It was on the table. You just look at it. Yeah.
That's cool. I love that. That's super cool. I love to hear this. I want to kind of shift gears and talk about what you're seeing. You've worked with, you know, dozens of maybe even hundreds of B2B SaaS companies. Are there anything right now that's working? That you're seeing, especially with what's happening in the economy, like what is working, what used to be working and isn't working anymore. What are some trends you're seeing in terms of performance, content, growth?
I think this goes into some of the what Becky wanted me to talk about, but there's the landscape of performance marketing is changing with generative AI and everything else. I think it's getting harder and harder. Channels are reaching saturation. There's more competition. More and more people are trying to get attention. So I think content and good content is always going to be working. Like you want to create that top of funnel that is really strong brand association for you. But also on the performance side, I think like Google Search is still working. Like it's mm-hmm. been there for decades and it's still like driving a lot of results for us.
Interesting.
It's competitive, it's getting more expensive, but if you the economics work for you, then it works.
Right. That makes sense. Yeah. I think the other thing, we chatted before we were recording, we were talking about PLG, how like, you know, that's like, you know, 2 years ago, cheap money. Talk about that. You have some strong opinions about this thing you've shared on LinkedIn and Twitter.
I think PLG was a zero interest rate phenomenon where people had a lot of money to spend and they were more willing to get. I think PLG is great for top of funnel lead gen. Like you get leads, you get people to sign up, but I don't think they convert into paid customers. And I think in this where budgets are tightening up financially, people are more careful about where to spend money. I think the buying cycles are getting extended. So even if you want to buy a tool, you have to like talk to the CFO, build a business case, then budget approval. And that's where salespeople come in, and good salespeople are great at helping you navigate those internal circumstances. So I think PLG is gonna, I think it was great as there's a lot of money in the ecosystem. People are throwing money at different tools and you don't need to talk to anybody. You can buy a tool for $500 a month and nobody's going to question you. And even if it doesn't have utility. And I think there was a lot of companies that went down that route. Right. But I think we're going to see the pendulum swing back to like good fundamentals.
Yeah.
Or like you need, like PLG is great for landing SMB deals, but SMB deals don't help you, you know, at a certain point, you're going to go up market.
Yeah.
All companies go up market because you need to be profitable and you need to make more money. And I think there's more pressure on, there's more pressure on companies now to, you know, show break-even and like, be profitable quicker. And I think PLG doesn't get you there.
Yeah. it's something that we've seen at AppKeys where, like, traditionally we were like, oh, let's invest in our like low zero touch experience. But like, we've been driving more and more people to sales, like within the trial experience. Because that, you know, you mentioned it before we recorded.
Yeah, but
they close quicker. They close at a higher rate because they're talking to somebody.
Yeah.
Versus the, you know.
There's
the
also zero, that mental, like, it's on me as a user to go figure out the product by myself.
Yeah.
Versus talking to sales for 15 minutes might answer all my questions and show me how it applies to my use case and if it works for me or not. So it takes that mental load off me. We have quite a bit of customers that do that because, like, they have a free trial top of funnel, but then they route out most of those sales for like qualification and demos because that closes at a 40% rate versus a freemium customer might close at a 10%. And also those deal sizes are bigger.
Bigger, exactly.
Yeah.
That makes sense. And that's something you've seen with the companies you're working with where, like, it's like, oh, let's do free signups as the focus is now more like, oh, the trial is just like a door towards them talking to sales, which is something you've seen that. Okay.
No. So like, it's like top of funnel lead gen. So like, instead of saying, hey, download this ebook, you're saying, hey, sign up for a free trial.
Cool. That makes sense. I'm curious, like we've kind of touched a little bit about it, but like, what do you see, you know, is something that people need to be focusing on going forward, especially around growth? You talked about good content. Is that something, you know, I'm curious what you mean by that, especially you mentioned search and AI. they're looking at content differently, of course, where like traditionally listicles and like content crafted for SEO is like been the focus, but it seems like things have been changing. I'm curious what you see.
I think it's everything is getting noisy, and with generative AI, everything's going to get more noisier, especially on the performance marketing side. Like Google and Facebook and all these guys already have sophisticated algorithms that can optimize ads much better than you can. I think the emphasis is going to go back to creative, having good, solid creative that works for your target market and standing out from like
interesting.
And then I think field, in-person, events, I think those are going to get human, whatever involves more human involvement is going to get valued higher. And I think performance marketing, as we know it today, might not exist in 5 years. So
interesting.
Like, I think the role of the media buyer who goes in and tweaks your ad optimizations and uploads ad creative, it's going to slowly evolve because machines can do it much better than we can. We give machines certain inputs on, here's my creative, here's my website, here's all I'm targeting. It can generate copy for you. It can potentially even generate creative for you down the line. And like, I think that's going to evolve with time. I think performance marketing started as like, hey, I'm going to send you coupons and I'm going to do this. I'm going to run ads and like manually bidding on keywords. I think like the algorithm has so much data. The machine learning algorithm has so much data that they know at what time showing messages to what person. Will result in a higher conversion.
And what would be the role of performance there where like AI, you might have mentioned it there, but I might have missed it, where like the machines are the one who are optimizing it. But
we're providing the inputs. Yeah.
The inputs, right. There needs to be that human who provides the inputs still, the strategic stuff, the positioning, the messaging.
The insights and then insights. Interpreting the results and insights and generating like the feedback loop. But I think like, even today, you can go into Google, you can put in your website and Google will auto-generate ads for you and targeting and everything. It's not perfect. Like performance max and all these things where it's like very much automated. You still need human enrollment at this time, but it's not unrealistic to think that in 5 years, you'd like just do it by itself.
What you mentioned there on going back to creatives kind of brings back to mind that you mentioned it's getting noisier out there and like, standing out, like what we've talked about with what you did at Saster and being memorable and having strong creatives that stand out, blue ocean stuff, is kind of like kind of looping back to what you mentioned earlier where like you did that for events, in-person events, but that's something that companies need to be thinking about, not just events but like everything, content, creatives. Yep. Where like you need standing out
video.
Nowadays, yeah, video is more important than ever because there's more noise, right?
Yeah.
Is that what I heard from you?
Yeah. And I think you will have to, I think traditionally B2B companies have over indexed on direct response and like short term. I think we need to balance more the short term with the long term. I think sales cycles are getting longer. So it means that you need to stay top of mind, reading the considerations that are for customer, because they're thinking about, like, if I'm thinking of CRM software, there's probably three names that come top of mind, and how do you become one of those names that they think about when they become, when they're like, oh, I need a CRM software. They think of Salesforce, HubSpot, and you, if you are selling CRM.
Yeah, true. That makes sense. I love that. Well, thank you so much. I love that chat. I want to actually shift gear one last time and talk about career power-ups. In terms of you, you've, you know, worked in marketing over a decade, with, you know, worked at Uberflip, Crowdgriff, in Demandgen, and now you've started, you've been running 42 Agency now for quite some time here. Gears, what's a power-up that's helped you in your career? Something that's helped you get a leg up over others, or could be something that is, you know, like a networking, or it could be something more like marketing skill related, but it's totally up to you.
I think a couple of things come to mind. One is I was lucky enough to have a lot of people who helped me and gave me good advice through my, as I was going through the career. I think I was always curious, and I always wanted, like, I think marketing can sometimes think about marketing too much, and we don't try to connect it to the broader business. And now that I'm running a company, I understand what, like, how a business owner thinks. And like, you, as a marketer, it's not just about the, like, you have to think about business KPIs and business performance, and like thinking about broader outside of marketing, what is a third part, third order effects on your marketing has. So understanding, like, you know, churn rate and like just being familiar with like what those business KPIs are and how they tie to the work you do. And I think broadly, I think marketers over index, like, you should be curious about learning about other industries, like how economics work and how, you know, whatever.
That makes sense. That whole curiosity really does help. And like thinking of, I love how April Dunford, she was one of the very first episode where she mentioned like one of her career props was thinking less about marketing and more about the market, which is like such a good way to put it, where like you're thinking about how the impact of your work broadly in terms of the company and also in terms of thinking about it from, you know, beyond the organization. If you enjoyed this episode, you'd love the Marketing Power-Ups newsletter. I share the actionable takeaways and break down the frameworks of world-class marketers. Go to marketingpowerups.com to subscribe, and you'll instantly unlock the three best frameworks that top marketers use to hit their KPIs consistently and wow their colleagues. I want to say thank you to you for listening, and please like and follow Marketing Powerups on YouTube, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. If you feel extra generous, kindly leave a review on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. Leave a comment on YouTube. It goes a long way in others finding out about Marketing Powerups. Thanks to Mary Sullivan for creating the artwork and design. And thank you to Faisal Kaigo for editing the intro video. And of course, thank you for listening. That's all for now. Have a powered up day.
Marketing power-ups. Until the next episode.